Good evening, everyone. I'm going to invite you to please open your Bibles with me to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel 34. It's a delight to open the Word with you this evening. And generally, whenever the Lord has called upon me to preach, I have practiced what has been called expository preaching, in which one takes a portion of Scripture, starting with a verse and going through step by step, sometimes line by line, word by word, verse by verse, working through the Word of God and unpacking the truth. However, in the Lord's providence tonight, He has laid on my heart a theme or a topic from what we have sung so far and from the verses of Scripture that are listed in your bulletin. You probably guessed that the topic is dealing with the shepherd and his sheep, or the title of the sermon, Our Good Shepherd. We've already read, Brother Kent has read, the 23rd Psalm. So let us then read these other two portions of Scripture here, starting with Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11 through 15. Please give ear to the reading of the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of the living God. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep. So I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they have scattered in a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and the valleys and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. And I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. Please then turn to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John. John chapter 10. I'd like to read verses 7 through 16. John 10, verse 7 through 16. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Almighty God, as we come before you this evening, we are filled with great joy as we hear the reading of your word and this great declaration of comfort that you are the good shepherd of your sheep. We pray, O Lord, that tonight you would be gracious unto us in opening up this word to us, that we might view you as that good shepherd, that we might remember times where you have acted as such in our lives, and that we might be filled with hope and encouragement because we are the sheep of your pasture. Oh, Father, be gracious to us in giving us your Holy Spirit tonight, that our minds might be illumined and open to your text, and that all of the illumination that we received would be would show forth great joy in our hearts for the God that we serve. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. These words have brought comfort and encouragement to millions over the centuries. They have been read at weddings and funerals, memorized, recited, read, and preached by countless of God's people. Of them, Charles Spurgeon says this, quote, "It is David's heavenly pastoral, a surpassing ode which none of the daughters of music can excel. The clarion of war gives place to the pipe of peace. And he who lately bewailed the woes of the shepherd in Psalm 22 tunefully rehearses the joys of the flock. This is the pearl of the Psalms, whose soft and pure radiance delights every eye. Of this delightful song, it may be affirmed that its piety and poetry are equal. Its sweetness and spirituality are unsurpassed." Close quote from our brother Spurgeon. Of course, such exalted words are spoken in reference to the 23rd Psalm. Undoubtedly, I am sure that many of you here tonight, both adults and children, would be able to joyfully recite its words. This indeed is a chapter that is well beloved by the people of God. But have you ever paused to ponder what the divine word is telling us about God and about ourselves? I do not say this to insult anyone's intelligence, but simply because many times when we come in contact with familiar passages, ones that we have heard over and over again, passages like 1 Corinthians 13, Hebrews 11, Romans 8, Genesis 1, or this passage before us tonight, Psalm 23, we tend to put our brains on autopilot. The familiarity, even the cadence of the words, gives us a secure feeling, and we tend to stop thinking. We may muse of times we heard the words in the past. They may fill us with a sense of solemnity and solace, while our brains are hardly engaged at all. But this is never the way to rightly approach the Scriptures. We must always seek to engage the inspired word with both mind and emotions. These beloved passages have become beloved because generations of past believers found them an answer to the burning need of their souls. And as they thoughtfully and prayerfully considered their teaching, the word that is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword pierced them to heart, becoming a word of comfort or conviction, encouragement, or exhortation. Psalm 23 lays before us an amazing truth about the majestic character and glorious work of our God. Further, it tells us about ourselves. And by way of extended metaphor, it explains to us the tender care of our God as he condescends to interact lovingly with his creatures and our necessary dependence upon him. We see the poor helpless sheep and the powerful loving shepherd ready and willing to provide the sheep's every requirement. But it is important to note that Psalm 23 is not the only place in the scripture that God has chosen to apply the metaphor of shepherd and sheep. We read together two other passages also, Ezekiel 34 and John 10, in which the Lord again employs this figure, assuming the caregiving role of the wise and watchful shepherd, and portraying his people as a needy flock. Both passages broaden and enhance the metaphor, by adding significant elements while still keeping the same theme. In Ezekiel 34, we see God himself acting the part of the nurturing deliverer by assuming the role as that was abused and neglected by false human shepherds of his people. God himself steps in to right the wrongs committed, chasten the errant shepherds, and appoint a true shepherd that will lead the sheep and provide them real sustenance. John 10 then reveals the actual fulfillment of Ezekiel 34, as Jesus, the God-man, proclaims himself to be the good shepherd of the sheep. So tonight I encourage you to fight the temptation to allow your brains to assume autopilot mode and thoughtfully engage the text before us as we consider the scriptural theme of shepherd and sheep. I would like to consider this theme under four headings. First, Christ is our good shepherd, and we are needy sheep. Second, Christ, our good shepherd, provides the guidance that we need. Third, Christ, our good shepherd, provides the daily sustenance and care that we need. And fourth, Christ, our good shepherd, provides the protection that we need. Let us then start by considering Christ, our good shepherd, and we are the sheep. Ezekiel 34:15. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. Psalm 24:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. These texts desire to teach us a truth, or truths, by painting a picture for us. It is a picture of a peaceful hillside on a lovely spring day. On the grassy hillside, one can in a distance, as they peer toward the horizon, see numerous dots against the azure sky. The dots seem to slowly move, and if one focuses intently on the dots, a distant familiar noise is heard. The noise of happy sheep baaing. I'm not going to make any more sheep noises tonight. A lonely figure can be seen walking amongst the sheep, which one can easily identify as the shepherd, tenderly tending the needy sheep. Well, this is a picture that was very familiar prior to during the glory days of ancient Israel, and during the days that Rome occupied the hillsides around Jerusalem. It is, I would reckon, not as familiar to us. Speaking for myself, I grew up in northeastern Pennsylvania, smack dab in the middle of coal country. I was used to seeing large dump trucks, cranes, and earth movers used in the business of mining coal. I could tell you the difference between anthracite and bituminous coal, describe different mining practices. But one thing I did not see on the hills surrounding my hometown was sheep. While each of you may relate to seeing tractors or combines in the field and cows grazing, we rarely see sheep on the hillside as they did in ancient Israel. This means that we must work harder to realize what the Lord is teaching by employing this metaphor. When he compares himself to a shepherd, what is his point? What does he want us to learn about him? While the task of the shepherd was multifaceted, there were at least three responsibilities of every shepherd. First, he must guide and direct the sheep. Sheep have a nasty habit of wandering off and finding danger. They aren't good at reading maps, and they don't have an internal GPS system. If left to themselves, they will just keep walking forward, thinking everything is merry until they find themselves in the middle of a boggy swamp, falling off a cliff, or some other perilous place. They need direction. They need direction that is provided by a shepherd. Second, a shepherd must provide for the daily needs of the sheep. Sheep get hungry. They need food. They need water. They need shelter. The shepherd must lead them to verdant pasture and introduce them to clear, crisp water to refresh them. In the evening, he must provide them or guide them back to the safety of the fold. He must also help them when they are injured. You probably all have heard about shepherds of the ancient Near East would carry the lame sheep on their backs until it could support its own weight again. Third, the shepherd must provide protection. Defending the sheep against predators that might want to have them for dinner, or thieves that might want to unlawfully make them their own. Sheep are easily frightened. It is a job of the shepherd to comfort and console them with his presence, offering them the safety, peace that they can eat, drink, and be merry little sheep. We must then ask ourselves, how does God do these things for us? How is God like a shepherd in providing us direction, meeting our daily needs and providing protection for us? Maybe you already have some ideas. We will focus on this in a moment, but first we must deal with the other side of the shepherd-sheep coin. We must deal with the comparison of us as the people of God to sheep. Ezekiel 34, verse 31, God says, "And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God," declares the Lord God. When you think of yourself, what qualities come to mind? If you had to match your personality with that of a creature in the animal world, what would you be? I assume we'd have many that might identify with the majesty of the horse, or the fierceness of the lion, or the docility of the cat, or the faithfulness of the dog, or the sleekness of the cheetah. But few would proudly declare, "I am a sheep." What we hesitate to do, God here does for us over and over in Scripture, telling us, "You are like a sheep." Just think, Psalm 23 could have started differently. It could have started, "The Lord is my lion keeper." Or, "The Lord is my falconer." But instead, the inspired word says, "The Lord is my shepherd." So I must ask you, is it difficult for you to think of yourself as a lowly sheep? It is easy to read these passages or passages like this and begin to apply the word to your neighbor. The Lord is his shepherd. Well, of course, the Lord is her shepherd. But the Scripture says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I am the sheep." He sees us as sheep. So we must take a deep breath and humbly ask, "How am I like a sheep?" I must admit that this was difficult for me for many years, being I knew little of sheep. Then in one of those remarkable provinces, God put me on a sheep farm. For a time, Kim and I rented a part of a house that was located on a sheep farm. I could just walk outside and sit on my porch in the evening, and the happy little fluff balls were right in front of me. I watched them as they ran back and forth throughout the field. For a while, it was kind of fun to see the sheep running around. And then I began to notice. It didn't take very long. These critters aren't very bright. It would take the lightest breeze or the smallest sound, and the sheep would begin to run in every direction. Sometimes they would follow each other. One would get spooked, The one behind him would be spooked, not knowing why, but the one in front was spooked. There must be something to be spooked about. They begin to run, and they pile up in a big old woolly ball. If one fell into the puddle, three or four behind it would jump in the puddle, just because they're sheep. It didn't take long to realize, it was very evident that these sheep need a lot of TLC. It was a theme that the Lord began to impress upon my heart. As I was sitting on the porch, the 23rd Psalm came to mind. The Lord is my shepherd. In other words, I'm like one of those sheep. It wasn't an idea that was very popular in my mind. But the Lord kept bringing it back over and over again. As I matured, as I began to view life and call upon the Good Shepherd, I finally had to admit, yes, Lord, you know me well. I'm a sheep. The utter pain of such an admission was soothed by the thought that the Lord next brought to mind. Lord, if I'm a sheep, then you are my shepherd. Brothers and sisters, it is important that we wrestle with this analogy. Before God can shepherd us, we must see ourselves as sheep, admitting our dependence upon Him, coming to grips with the fact that the popular notion of seeing ourselves as self-sufficient, rugged conquerors is not a Christian idea. We are dependent for all our daily needs, guidance, and protection upon the gracious care of our heavenly shepherd. Our second point is that Christ is the good shepherd that provides guidance for the sheep. Psalm 23, again, verse 3 says, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. John 10, 27. Jesus says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Christ, as our good shepherd, provides us guidance and direction. I should mention the term good, describing Christ as shepherd, is a superlative. We use the word good in numerous ways, usually attaching an ethical element to it. Of course, Christ is a good shepherd in that way. He is holy, righteous in all of his ways. But that is not the idea here in John 10. When Jesus identifies himself as the good shepherd, he is saying something like this. There are other shepherds, people who will offer alternatives to my way, people who will offer to interpret the world for you, offering direction, provision, and protection, but they are all inferior to me. They will always fail in the end. But I am the superior shepherd. I am the best shepherd. I will never leave you or forsake you. My way is always right, and I will always give you just what your soul needs. So then, if one of the shepherd's responsibilities is to offer the sheep guidance and direction, how does Christ meet that need for us? We live in a day that it's popular to say, the Lord told me to do this. Or the Lord led me through this feeling that I should go here or there. Well, there is evidence of this in Scripture. God did call Samuel as he laid in his bed. He spoke to Saul on the road to Damascus. But is this the normal way that God directs his people, through audible voice or subjective internal feelings? The Scripture tells us that while God has moved in that way in the past, we have the high privilege to live in the age of the Messiah. Those shadowy days of prophetic prediction have given way to the glorious days of fulfillment. Jesus, in whom all the prophecies and shadows of the Old Testament are fulfilled, is alive and he reigns. We now, according to the Apostle Peter, have a more sure word of prophecy in the Scriptures. The author of Hebrews explains it this way. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. In other words, in this wonderful age of fulfillment, we enjoy something far superior to that of the Old Testament fathers. We have the very Word of God in the flesh. He is the living message declared by the Father, come to earth and assumed human nature that he might declare the love of the Father to us. Jesus the Christ is the living Word who can say, I and the Father are one. And he who has seen me has seen the Father. God has spoken a more clear and final word about himself in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He is the final and full revelation of the Father. We are recipients of this glorious truth. Christ, the very Word of God, is our shepherd. So how does he then communicate his truth to us? How does he guide us? He does so by his Word, illumined by and applied to our hearts by his Holy Spirit. These two, Word and Spirit, go together. The Word is the instrument of God's revelation to us, explaining how we should live before him. And the Holy Spirit is the divine agent that inspires that Word, giving it its potency and granting us understanding of it. It is then by the powerful working of the Spirit through the Word that the shepherd directs his sheep. We have to ask ourselves the question, are we listening? Are we actively opening up the Word, believing that it is a living Word and that the Lord is working through it in our life? There is no need for subjective truth of mystical experiences. God works for the objective truth of his Scripture applied by the work of the Holy Spirit and received by faith. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He leads us to green pastures and refreshing pools of his Word, and that our souls might be refreshed and that we might be preserved from theological error. This is the point of the Apostle Peter when he writes in 1 Peter, for you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Our third point is that Christ, our good shepherd, provides the daily sustenance and care that we need. Psalm 23 says, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. In Ezekiel 34, I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. If we are honest, we must admit that we are needy people. We like our 3 square meals a day, a roof over our heads. We write, and rightly so, but sometimes even the best of us find ourselves taking credit for this daily sustenance and shelter. We reason, I worked hard for this, and I deserve it because it all came by the sweat of my brow. Now, please don't get me wrong. Hard work is a good thing and very satisfying to enjoy the fruit of our labor. We must never think that all the good things that we enjoy are a result ultimately of our own strength or that we somehow are deserving of such blessing. Brothers and sisters, it is God's grace alone that he gives to us as his creatures showing us his kind benevolence. Yeah, one might reason, but I get up every morning early and work hard for this stuff. Well, sure, but who gave you the strength and intelligence necessary to do your job each day? Who puts breath in your lungs and strength in your muscles each morning? Is it not the kindness of God that we have health and ability to earn a living? The Lord Jesus speaks of this in Matthew chapter 6. He says, "Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" When we sit at the table each evening, or open our lunchbox at work and school and find food waiting for us to be enjoyed, it is a gift from the hand of our good shepherd. This is true as well of the car that we drive and the clothes that we wear, the house that we live in, and the family and friends that we each enjoy fellowship with. The Lord is at work providing for our needs. If this were the extent of his provision, he would still be worthy of our creaturely praise. But there's more. Not only does the Good Shepherd offer us physical sustenance and care, but he also grants us spiritual sustenance and growth as well. Jesus tells us this in John's Gospel, using another metaphor. He says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing." See here how this spiritual growth is directly dependent upon the gracious blessing of the Good Shepherd. This is the point of the Apostle Peter when he writes, "For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the Bishop of your souls." And our last point, Christ, our Good Shepherd, provides the protection that we need. Psalm 23 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Ezekiel 34, "I will make with them a covenant of peace and banish wild beasts from the land, so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods." In John 10, the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I remember once, I was driving in Route 30 through Lancaster. I was coming home from work a number of years ago, thinking about getting home and enjoying an evening with my family. It seemed like a rather normal, plain day. Then the Lord decided to test my sanctification and teach me a lesson of his shepherdly care by sending me, yep, you guessed it, a flat tire. I pulled over and went for a spare in the trunk as cars whizzed by at 70 miles an hour. I was not particularly in a learning mood, and remember wondering why these things always seemed to happen to me. After changing the tire and wiping the dirt and grease from my hands, I wasn't as much in the mood for a delightful evening as I was a few moments ago. So I decided to stop at the garage on the way home and get the tire repaired. As I waited for the tire to be fixed, still kind of grumpy, the mechanic stuck his head in the waiting room and said, "Do you have a minute to look at this?" He led me to the car, which was up on a lift, and proceeded to show me that the brake line was damaged. He explained that I was losing brake fluid. It was a very slow leak. It was hard to see, except the tire was removed. But he said that it wouldn't be long before the car wouldn't stop when I pushed the brake. He told me I probably would have never known, except that I had a flat tire. And I drove to the garage and he removed the tire to fix it and found the brake fluid dripping out of the car. As I went back to the waiting room and waited for them to finish the repair, my grumpiness slowly disappeared as I realized that the Good Shepherd cared for me, sparing me a much worse afternoon than just a flat tire that took 15 minutes to change. The thorn of annoyance was turned into the rose of God's loving providence. I bet many of you have had similar experience in which the Lord has watched over you and saved you from a dangerous experience. But it is not just dangerous events that our Good Shepherd delivers us from in his guiding providence, but also our spiritual enemies. The Apostle Paul told the believers at Ephesus that they were engaged in a spiritual battle, not against flesh and blood, but against the host of wickedness in heavenly places. This cosmic battle might be unseen to our eyes, but nonetheless, by faith, we realize its effect in the world around us and upon our very souls. But our God is at work providing us with the weapons to evade all the fiery darts of the evil one. This is the encouragement given in the book of Ephesians by the Apostle Paul. He says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as the shoes of your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit in all prayer and supplication." Our God provides us with the necessary tools to successfully fight the battle and gain spiritual victory. He fits us for battle by indwelling us by His Spirit, by whom He seals us for the day of promise. Though this world is a dangerous place for the pilgrim, the Good Shepherd is with us even through the valley of deep darkness, preparing us to sit and feast while our enemies are all around looking on. Because our Good Shepherd wields the rod and staff of His protection. So we might ask, is there anything to fear then? Is there any attack that He cannot defend? Is there any enemy that He cannot overcome? It is a great comfort that we can, by faith, rest in His peace. Not even the great and final enemy, death itself, can threaten the sheep that is of His watchful care. Our Good Shepherd has destroyed even the strong grasp of death when He rose again from the grave on the third day. And all those united to Him can with one voice proclaim, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" So then, brothers and sisters, let us rejoice together and take comfort that the Lord Himself is our Good Shepherd. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for the text this evening that You have given to us, and the truth that You have proclaimed, that You are our Good Shepherd. Oh Lord, may it be a comfort to us. May it be encouragement to us. May we be full of great joy and humility as we understand Your word. May we rest in You. We pray it in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.